Good morning. Today is Friday, October the 7th. Joining us this morning is the assistant interim acting city manager for Eureka. Did I get all the titles right?
And then development services director. Just sitting in for Greg.
Rob Holman. Just sitting. Okay, I like that. Just sitting in for Greg. I'm going to have to get you a title on that, a badge or a business card or something. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Let's see if we can find a worthy quote, something about sitting in your vehicle waiting for the road guys to let you through. You can tell which way I came into work this morning? Yeah, okay. Oh. Okay, it is an anonymous quote. That's okay. Never, I'm sure you've heard this one. Never try to teach a pig how to sing. It wastes your time and annoys the pig. Oh, my. Bring us up to speed, bud, about the activity on Booner Hill. It looks like it's a pretty major, significant thing. Lots of neat colors being sprayed all over the asphalt.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
What is Booner Hill? You lost me.
From Harrison to S on Booner.
Road project?
Yeah.
No idea.
None at all?
No, none at all.
All right. Well, we're not going to talk about your transportation sales tax then either. Okay. Fine. Next, homeless.
Yeah.
Yeah. My list was only too deep. That was it. I thought, okay, fine. The container camp is supposedly gone at the end of this month, right?
That's right.
That's the 6 month
relocated
demarcation. Yeah. Well, okay, gone from where it is.
Yes.
Is there any progress in that, any advancement in that, any idea what the next location is going to be and what it's going to look like?
Yeah, so City Council identified the corner of Washington and Coster for that to be relocated to. I think the more exciting, interesting part of the conversation is the fact that our 3060 campaign concludes today. So if you're not familiar with that, that's where the city and the county work together to house 30 people in 60 days as a pilot program to figure out how we can get more people off the streets and into housing. And at the end of this 60-day period, which ends today, it's 35, I think, people have been housed. So the pilot program has been successful. Betty Chin in her village has also been housing people separately. And so this model of housing, rapid rehousing, housing first, is a really, looks like, successful model that we need to work towards in the future. It wasn't easy. There's a lot of things that we've learned, but we're hoping that we can provide this model to the other cities in the county and help the other cities start doing the same thing.
When the word housing is used, is there a standard associated with it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
He felt the hook being set, folks. There was that pause, and he looked at me. He felt, okay, good. Well, we'll talk about what the standard is then when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rob Holman from the city of Eureka. But he's not sitting in the big boy chair because he's out here. Rob, what's the biggest thing that you're looking at before the weather changes? What are you hoping either to have wrapped up, finished up, dealt with? I mean, is the homeless challenge, is that the one?
It's a tough question. I mean, there's so many different things going on. I know that the police chief, Andy Mills, just sent out an email saying, you know, let's pay attention to the weather change, and homelessness is a different issue when the weather changes. So homelessness is certainly one of those. But it's also the end of our tourist season, looking at economic development and talking to our restaurant and hotel owners and seeing what this past tourist season was like and what we can do to prepare for the next one. We've got the parklets. We're closing up the pilot study of that. So if you haven't been to the four parklets in Old Town, the little outdoor seating areas that take up one parallel parking space.
Oh, the little bump outs?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
The one where people sit and eat. And so we're looking at the
strategically positioned outside of restaurants.
Exactly. Well, the restaurants paid for those. That cost the city nothing. And so that was the program that we set up to make sure that the city had no cost in that, but the restaurants had an opportunity to create outdoor seating. And so now we're at the point where now this tourist season is over. We're evaluating those, looking at all the numbers. We did parking studies, talked to the neighboring businesses. And this coming January, council will decide whether we're going to continue to have those four, whether we'll have more, what kind of design standards they'll have. So
you wouldn't bust them out, would you?
Maybe, if that's what council wants. Sure, yeah. I at this point, doubt that they will.
It's a fair chunk of money that somebody, you know, those things.
Yep.
Yeah.
The business owners paid for those, and so I'm sure that they would be upset to see that, but they understood that it was a pilot period and that there was that risk. But
it would be nice if parking was an issue like it was in the old days. Come on. Yeah, my people complained because they had to walk an extra 10 feet.
Right.
We hear about that one all the time.
Yep.
From the retailers. So
yeah,
I'm sure that I would like to think that there's going to be a balancer in that equation.
Well, fortunately, you know, knowing that a lot of people are concerned about parking, we spent a lot of time studying the parklets and got hundreds of hours of volunteers to go out and study the parklets. So they've been secretly spying on them for 3 hours at a time.
Ooh.
In different. And what we're finding is that there hasn't been a single time where every parking space was taken up on the block, even when there are five people sitting in the parklet. And so that's hundreds of hours. So there's, you know, volunteers from HSU and various places that have been doing this.
Sounds to me like that question's been answered. You know, so if somebody shoots a red flag up on that one, you guys are going to be able to stomp that one down pretty quick.
We're also surveying the neighboring businesses, and so we'll see what they have to say. And, you know, we really want to take everyone's considerations into
the thing that I thought was the coolest, and I don't spend a lot of time in Old Town, is that I never saw them inhabited.
Yep.
They're always being used for commercial purposes rather than the Lounge Lizard approach, which I thought was... Now, I don't know if they were having to hustle people away.
Nope.
Or if that just was the way it played out, or if they took the chairs away when nobody was out there and there was nothing for people, you know,
for those to
camp out on.
The ones that have built-in seating are built-in so that you can't lay down on them. So far, there's been no graffiti problems, no people sleeping in them. It's just effectively an extension of the sidewalk.
And nobody's run into them, cars?
One business owner said that somebody tapped one once, but it's just like a parked car, so I'm sure parked cars get tapped all the time as well.
Yeah, oh, that explains the spikes then at the ends. Radiator punctures. Is that part of trying to make the Old Town area more conducive for people to come back to?
Yes, yeah. So we another thing we've done, I don't know if I talked about this the last time I was here, but is a vacancy rate study. So we exhaustively studied that whole area and looked at where our weaknesses and strengths are. And it turns out that there's a really strong demand for residential. People want to live in Old Town downtown.
They want to find apartments in Eureka that they can afford, period. Right. I lost a potential sales gal from Florida. Who they couldn't find housing, period, end of story, and they wanted to live in Eureka.
Yeah. I just got a tour yesterday of a new, newly constructed apartments in Old Town, and they're beautiful. And
constructed or renovated?
Renovated. It was a fire in 95, something like that, and so it's finally...
That's long enough ago. It counts as new.
Yeah. Fire insurance takes a while.
20 years? Or is it just taking that long now for the demand to come back up so that it is...
No, apparently, from our studies right now, and so we haven't been studying all that long, but residential is in really high demand, whereas office and retail are a little bit weaker. Industrial is really strong. There are no vacancies in industrial. There's waiting lists and warehousing. And residential is doing great in Old Town and downtown.
That doesn't fall under the auspices of the Housing Authority, does it?
No.
To monitor housing, that this is something that's different?
Yeah, so the Eureka Housing Authority is a separate entity from the city of Eureka. They were founded just after World War II, and they manage, I think it's about 100 units of affordable housing.
As you look at the Old Town area and the second floor, third floor, there's a lot of folks that have set them up as offices. Is it significant to change it?
It is.
For apartments? Because I'm thinking bathing as well as, you know, a communal bathroom down the end of the hall for, right, you know, 18 offices is one thing. 18 houses?
Yeah.
Ooh, different magnitude there.
Right. So the vacancy rate for offices is definitely higher than residential. And so we do have some vacant offices where all the residential is filling up quickly. But the square footage value of offices is higher than residential, so a landlord can get more per square foot for office. So they have to make that financial decision of, well, do I try to get...
Do we keep it vacant or not?
Right, exactly, yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rob Holman from the city of Eureka. Economic development, Rob, was something that you had touched on before we kind of moved on a little bit, along with the homeless. I'd like to get back to the 30-60 thing just for a brief moment.
Okay.
When you say housing, obviously there is a standard that you folks were looking for. When... you would, as achieving this, how do you develop that standard? What is a shelter? What is a home? What is something that should count towards this? And what is a hovel that, no.
Right.
No, we're not going to put anybody in there. And how do you make that determination? What is?
Sure. So I could throw some really boring numbers at you, like 220 square feet is the minimum size according to the California Building Code that a residential structure
can be. It's a doghouse, isn't it?
It's really small. So that's that plus a closet and a bathroom is the smallest that a residential unit can be.
So about 300?
Yeah. Depends on how big your bathroom and closet
is. Well, yeah. I would like to think there would be a sink in there and a toilet.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And there's other requirements that have to be in there. And then there's, you know, for the city of Eureka, we have code enforcement standard. And so there's a minimum level. You have to have running water. You have to have a bathroom. You know, there's a minimum level that's acceptable to be considered a residence. And if it doesn't meet that level, then it's not a residence.
What is the responsibility of the landlords? I mean, we had the budget. I know you guys are in a series of lawsuits with other landlords in the area.
Uh-huh.
What is the minimal? Because I don't think, maybe folks do, and certainly don't want to belittle that, but I don't think most of us understand the situation that some of these folks are either living in by design or forced to live in due to economics that are triggering some of these various events that the city, you know, you hear about it year after year, decade after decade. Pretty soon you get a little numb to this stuff.
Right.
Unless it's you or one of your family that's involved, and all of a sudden, you know, you come unglued.
Yeah. I wouldn't say landlord, I would say building owner. So the building owners have a responsibility.
What's the distinction? Obviously, there is one.
Yeah,
for you.
I don't know if there is a distinction, but I tend to think of the building owner has responsibilities to maintain the building. A landlord has responsibilities to the tenants. And if you just concentrate on the building itself, there's neighboring buildings. You don't want that building owner's building to catch on fire and burn down and then catch the neighboring buildings on fire. You don't want it to be infested with rats or cockroaches. And so from a building perspective, we need to make sure that the buildings are maintained to an appropriate level for our community. And by doing that, then the tenants have an appropriate place to live.
So what is that standard? What's the measuring stick?
You know, I there's probably all kinds of measured standards, and I don't get down to that level of detail, but I'm sure that there are. But, you know, there's a lot of rules in the code book about, you know, you have to have bathrooms, there has to be sanitation. And so, you know, there's places where there's hundreds of code violations. It's pretty evident when you walk in that there's a problem. Then we have an official list that you can look at and check them off.
Can you shut them down?
Yes.
What's the lead notice time for something like that?
It depends on the health and human safety, but the fire department comes in and says this place is in risk of burning down. It can be shut down immediately. If the building department says that, you know, there's specific problems, then they can shut it down as well.
In threat of smoldering to... You know, you hear some of the anecdotal stories, and it's like, who would do that?
That's a really hard question to answer. I see these cases and I just wonder, it's like, why would someone make that decision? Why not maintain your buildings? But that's up to them.
Yeah. So you have a hammer, but it's a small hammer. It's not a thunder stick to be able to get somebody to do something and say, look, you know, this is really not
right.
This is not acceptable in our city.
Right.
On the flip side, can a landlord, I don't know if you, I mean, this is kind of a cool thought I just had. Can they drug test for their tenants?
I honestly don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, good. Well, that's the random question for this morning. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:40. We'll be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Holmland from the city of Eureka. Rob, you talked about your vacancy rate study a little bit, and then right after that, there was a reference to economic development.
Yeah.
When you say economic development, are you thinking of the components that the city or a jurisdiction has that tends to slow that process up? Reaction.
Sure.
Or are you thinking of a proactive approach of, you know, leakage studies?
Yeah.
And plugging those leaks and finding out what the market, the regional market, the statewide market is looking for, kind of like the incubator concept that Rob and Sherry are talking about, what Foodworks is doing over in Arcata, what Redway has with their industrial park. Is it a reactive or a proactive approach when you're envisioning economic development for the city of Eureka?
Yeah, it's both, all of the above. The thing that I put the most effort into and concentrate on is easing our development processes, making it appealing for people to come in and start a business or to build a new building, making development easy. And Eureka doesn't necessarily have a great reputation of that into the past. And it's, you know, I've been with the city for almost exactly 2 years now, and it's not an easy thing to change, you know.
Culture is tough.
It is. And there's there's regulatory agencies and there's other things that make it difficult. But that's where I put the majority of my effort, is making sure that somebody wants to come in and start a business, so we make it as absolutely easy as possible. If they want to build a new building and do new development, create a residential structure in the city, we make it as easy as possible.
So do you go out to the Builders Exchange and the various union halls and stuff and talk to those folks about what do you see and then take that? Yep. Is there a template that somewhere else that you're saying this is the model we want? And try to step by step integrate something like that. I mean, how do you know where the plugs are and what the perceptions are, so that if you take care of that, now you can start to market the city?
Sure. Yes, I meet with a lot of developers, a lot of contractors, investors, you know, people that have had bad experiences in the city, and walk through them what their bad experiences were and where it went wrong and which steps were difficult, and then, you know, work on the inside to change each one of those as we can.
Are most of them changeable?
Yes, you know, there's some things you can't get around. You know, there's a California vehicle or a building code is what it is. The Coastal Commission, you know, I'm working with them as I, you know, as I can, and you know, and they have their own mandates. And so, yes, there's a lot that can be changed, and we're steering the ship in the right direction. So that's one side of economic development. Another side is looking at the businesses in our community, which ones are really successful and which ones do we think are at the highest risk of leaving the city and going somewhere else, and then establishing relationships with them, finding incentives for them to stay, who's growing, who's creating jobs, and there's models that you can look at of who's at risk of leaving the city.
Is a lot of that zoning related issues?
No, I wouldn't say so. You know, if a business looks like they're growing and they're outgrowing their space, they're going to look to move. Let's help them find a space to move in Eureka instead of space to move in Santa Rosa.
Wouldn't they be doing that on their own?
Sure, but if they know the city cares and that the city really wants them to stay, and they know that there are great places to go to, and you know, it's a courtship. You know, it's like convincing great businesses to stay in Eureka and grow in Eureka is a big part of our job.
So if you got an outfit that's here that is in that scenario, and now they're feeling a little bit emboldened, a lot of times, my understanding from talking to folks and our experiences, it's workforce related.
Mm-hmm.
It's the culture. It's not the physical. It's not the nuts and bolts and the sidewalks and streets and all that kind of stuff that you guys bring to the table.
Right.
It's the culture, whether it's real or perceived. It's finding a workforce that's motivated enough to show up on time, that can pass the drug test, that can count to five without having to consult a calculator. I mean, those basic types of things that are out there that I would think that you guys don't have anything to do, but if you have a larger population base, you're going to be able to find.
Sure. You know, it's easy to complain about the workforce, but I think there's a lot of great people out there looking for jobs, and it just takes, you know, it takes the right connections. So we work with Eureka City Schools and CR and HSU and talk about developing up the next generation, put a lot of effort into the next generation of Eureka. And helping them become the workforce that current businesses are looking for, and help the next generation of Eureka create businesses and create their own jobs. The county's got a workforce development program, and you know that is what it is, and they're working hard on that. I think there's a lot that we can do, and you know it's a lot about communication, education, and coordination between multiple agencies, especially the colleges.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Don't let the city burn down. See everybody on Monday.